Welcome to the Functional Alignment Show, where I aim to functionally bring alignment into all aspects of your life. This show is a valuable resource for individuals seeking to optimize their health and well-being. Specializing in the fields of functional medicine, chiropractic, nutrition, and holistic wellness, this podcast is hosted by myself, Abby Borkowski, also known as Apples Eats on Instagram. The goal of this show is to offer insightful discussions and practical advice on achieving optimal health through a holistic approach. From addressing the root causes of stubborn health issues to exploring the latest research in functional medicine, this podcast offers a wide range of topics to empower listeners with the knowledge and tools to take control of their health. If you are ready to become functionally aligned, keep... Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. So today I wanted to just talk about how kind of my experience as being a college athlete and just kind of run through that. I've had a couple people in my DMs recently talking about how, you know, they're experiencing some health issues, and I just kind of want to talk about how everything is correlated in the body and stress and the body perceived stress and all that. So I'm gonna run through this. This is gonna build a foundation for the next episode, which I'm gonna talk mostly about conditions in the female body that present after like being in a stressed out state. So mainly like PCOS, fertility stuff. So I'm kind of gonna go down like a little rabbit hole these next few episodes of fertility and make our way through them. So this is just gonna be part one. It's just gonna build a foundation. So it's not going to be a super long episode. I'm just going to run through some things to set the stage. So basically, as a college athlete, I was a Division I softball player, and it was an incredible experience. You know, you have built-in friends, you're on a team, you get to experience all different places. I mean, I went to Hawaii, I went to Florida. It was really cool. However, I noticed like a specific trend in the female athletes. And it was even talked about, like even in all of my health science classes and everything, like we knew it, but nothing was really done about it. You notice this trend, it's called like the female athlete triad, where females, athletes, we're expending so much energy. You know, we go from a team lift in the morning at like 6 a.m. and then we go to team conditioning for like 30 minutes, and then we go to classes, we maybe have an individual practice for a half hour, and then we go to more classes, and then we have a team practice for 2 to 3 hours, and you're doing that every day. And yeah, you have like a day off, but still you're active, whether you're walking around all on campus, you're participating in activities that are going on campus, whatnot. So we really kind of are undernourished. We're just not taught properly at the age of 18, 19, 20 how to properly fuel our bodies. And when I was in college, I didn't have access to a sports nutritionist or anything like that. So a bunch of girls, and like I could just imagine a bunch of girls, female athletes, are kind of confused on how to properly fuel their body, what's the right thing. And now all the science, you see it coming out and it's changing about how I did a podcast episode on the importance of protein and getting that in. And I definitely did not eat enough protein when I was in college. And, you know, you're trying to put muscle mass on to get stronger, strength train, be lifting in the gym with your team. But I just felt like I was losing muscle at the same time because I wasn't eating an adequate amount of protein. And my body was just always on the go in this like chronically stressed out state. I remember like I would have to eat my food so fast in order to try and get like a lunch in between practice and going to class. So it really is just like you're always on the go, and you're on the go from 6 a.m. until 9 p.m. because, you know, you have homework and stuff to do right after practice, and you're trying to eat dinner. So I could never do that lifestyle again, but it was fun while it lasted. I only lasted for like 3 years because I graduated a year early, and one of them was my COVID year, but it was just too much for me personally. I don't think I could do it again if I was asked to do it. But that being said, it's an incredible experience. It's just it's a lot on the body, and I'm paying for it now. What I did during those 3 years is, you know, I developed lean PCOS basically, and it's hard to overcome. The body, anytime it sees you in a stressed out state, it just, you know, you go back into that. Your body thinks you're going into like a starvation mode almost. So it's going to hold on to anything. And it's really tough. You go into flight or fight mode pretty easily. So these past few years after college, I've been really trying to hone in on like a more parasympathetic, really like rest, digest, way less movement exercise than I have. I still move a lot, but not as intense as I used to, I would say. So basically, I already kind of went through what a typical day looks like as an athlete, whether it be female or male. We're worked a lot and we're burning a lot and we don't eat nearly as enough that we should be, especially if we're on the road for a game. I don't know about other sports, but for softball specifically, there needs to be way more advocation for proper fueling when you're on the road during a game for a series. So basically, really quick, this is kind of what the general trend looks like for when you're going away for a series for traveling. So you leave, say, Friday at 8 a.m. for a 6 to 8 hour bus ride, and you stop for lunch on the way, and then you get dinner maybe when you get there. And then, so that day is fine. And then you have a doubleheader on Saturday, which you have to get to the fields at like 10, or no, you have to get to the fields at like 9. Game starts at like 10 or 11 or 12. I can't even remember, but you have a doubleheader, and in between there, so you're at the field like for 6 to 8 hours a day, but you get a 30-minute break in between game one and game two. And that's technically like your lunch break, but we don't get fed lunch because a budget, and two, there's not enough time to eat a full lunch. So you just eat snacks. And there's no way that snacks can properly fuel protein, fat, carb that the body needs. It's not realistic. I remember like just probably eating so much trail mix and peanut butter and bananas because that was like the only thing that we could take because there was no coolers either. So it was very tough. I had to really learn how to properly fuel my body, and I don't think athletes are taught all the tips and tricks to do this, and it can lead to, you know, decrease in performance, under fueling, all of that. So it's kind of just like, I didn't really notice it in the moment, but now like reflecting back on it, I would advocate so much more for the student athletes and stuff like that. So that's kind of just like what a snippet looks like when you're away on a travel tournament type thing. But when you're at home, it's fine. Like you can meal prep, you can bring your own meals. You have your parents to support you. They'll probably bring you a meal. So there's ways around it too, but it's just, you know, just wanted to give some insight in there if you've never experienced that before. So again, properly fueling is key to doing well in a sport, and not feeling shaky, making sure that, you know, you're cognitively with it, you're not feeling any brain fog, and you're able to push through in the sun, in the heat, your electrolytes are proper. Not enough knowledge about that in collegiate athletes, I believe. So that is, I'm kind of just making sure that everybody's aware of this, and maybe we can like make it more, make those college athletes more aware. So then again, I kind of touched on this in the beginning, but there is a rise in fertility issues and cycle issues. And whether it be, you know, you see a lot of female athletes come out, they lose their cycles. More common than not, they're amenorrheic, they have PCOS, endometriosis, you name it. When I coached as a grad assistant for 2 years after I played, when I started in chiropractic school, and it was kind of such like a redemptive, if that's the right word, like I redeemed myself almost, because it was so healing and like nourishing almost to be on a different side of it and to like learn to re-love the game from a coaching aspect. And my job was to, as a grad assistant, was to kind of like do all the background work. So I really got to, I was in charge of grocery shopping for the girls. I was in charge of making sure that there was food, dinner, lunch when we were traveling, making sure that all meals were cooked when we were away in Florida for a whole week on spring training. So I really learned, like, that was a passion of mine, was like the food aspect. So I tried to make sure that those girls were fed and had proper nutrients in their body. And it was fun. I loved it because I got to use my knowledge and my passion behind it to kind of give them what I wish that I would have had. And a lot of them are thankful for it. They still tell me to this day that they miss what we gave them and what we provided for them. So to know that and to help them, like to teach them almost, give them recipes for their dorms that they can do, it was really fun to use that aspect and that side of it. So I'm glad I got to impact young female athletes in that way as well. So with that, I think that moving forward, there almost needs to be like a call to action to help female athletes and even male athletes understand how to properly fuel their bodies moving into a sport. I think there should be a course or a training or something that is mandatory before starting a season so that you're not getting sick all the time. You're able to be healthy. If you get injured, you heal properly, that type of stuff. I think there's a lot of just going through the motions, and at the end of the day, you're kind of just a number in a program. And I think that we really need to take a better approach to college sports. And for any level, D3, D2, D1, it's grueling, and I'm not against them. They were great. They did great things for me. But there needs to be just some eye opening, because you're seeing these common patterns of athletes being under chronic stress from school, from sports, from not being able to see their families, and it can really compile and add up, and then you'll have some breaking points. And there were so many girls on my team that had like immune issues. They were sick all the time, you know, and like mental stuff. It's just a lot of it comes down to not taking care of the body properly. And my biggest advice moving forward, if there's any young athletes out there listening, is make sure you advocate for yourself. Make sure you and your coach are on the same page of what you need to be your best, and just be very open and don't be afraid to speak up for yourself and what you need and what your team needs. That's kind of just my biggest advice, and you can kind of use that in any aspect of your life too, even if it's with a job moving forward or with friends. Like, you have to stick up for yourself. You have to do what is going to make you your best self so that you can give back to your team. And that's kind of the mentality I had with playing a sport, was like, if I can't take care of myself, I'm not going to be able to be the best for my team. So I have to make sure I put myself first, and then I can be there for my team. So take that with a grain of salt. Do whatever you want with that information. But again, this episode is just setting the stage for it's just one example out of many how chronic stressors in life can lead to fertility issues. And that's kind of a common trend we are seeing here, is that all this chronic stress build up, you're seeing a lot of PCOS, you're seeing a lot of fertility, amenorrhea, you're even seeing like decreased sperm count in men because low testosterone. So I'm going to kind of spin it and go off of that in the next few episodes. Next episode, I hope to talk about PCOS and really hone in on that, just because I think it's a really popular buzzword right now. So that is where we're moving, but I hope that you enjoyed like understanding what it was kind of like to be a college athlete. I don't really talk about it too much, just because I'm not like traumatized by it, but I'm kind of overcoming it and realizing that, like, yeah, it was a part of my life, and it's okay to talk about it, and it's a really neat thing that to go through. And to be a D1 athlete at a high level was a great experience, and I met a lot of great people doing it. But again, there's a lot to take from it too. So I'm happy to give back, I guess, to any generation with what I learned and what I experienced. So with that, I hope that you took something away from this episode, and stay tuned for more episodes. Again, it's going to be more so on fertility, but even no matter if you're a male or female, it's really going to be beneficial so that you can understand the body and the basics of it and how different we are, and the roles that stress and everything else can play on the human body. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you don't mind, I would love if you could share it. Share it with a young athlete if you want, that you know in your family. Share it with a college athlete. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out. You can DM me on my Instagram, which is at abelseats.com, or sorry, not .com, but at abels.eats on Instagram. Yeah, I'm available. Just let me know if you need anything, and I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.